I want to talk this morning about living new life. We sang the song earlier, "Because He Lives." Amen. I'm alive because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. I know He holds my heart, my future in His hands. Amen. That's good comfort there. That whatever we face knowing that God has us engraved in the palm of His hands, that He is watching over and keeping us, that He's directing our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His mighty hand. That is really, really, really good news. Praise God. God watches over and takes care of us. We have this life that comes from recognizing who Jesus is, from confessing our sins, from asking Him to be Lord of our lives, from recognizing that we are bought with a price. And then we're called to live it out, to walk it out. In John 8, beginning with verse 6, and actually John 8, beginning with verse 1, which we're not going to read until we get down to verse 6. Jesus is teaching in the temple, and the scribes and Pharisees come in, and they bring in this woman, bring him before Jesus, and says, "Rabbi, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act, and according to the law of Moses, such a one should be stoned, but what do you say?" Verse 6, "This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' And she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" We're all familiar with this passage. It's very easy to point fingers at somebody who was doing something that was against the law of Moses, was doing something that God said, "Don't do. Thou shalt not commit adultery." The truth of it is, each and every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Scripture says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Every last one of us, whether it's this sin or some other sin, it really doesn't matter, because the Word says that he who breaks one of the commandments has broken the whole law. It's all one law. And that law is that which declares the way to live, that a man may live, those who keep, that a man may live if he keeps these commandments, is what it even says in Exodus when the Ten Commandments are given. Said it's a way to live, but in truth, we all fall short. We all have that sin nature coming from Adam. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as this woman was brought before Jesus, those were accusers were around her, pointing the finger. This is what this one was doing. And Jesus, as he wrote in the dirt, he said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And they were, Scripture says, they were all convicted by their conscience as they recognized sin in their own lives. And they all went away, leaving Jesus with the woman. And Jesus says, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." That same command is to each and every one of us. Go and sin no more. We have a new life because of what Jesus did on our behalf. He has paid the penalty for our sin. And we are called to walk out this life seeking His face. Walk out this life drawing close to Him. Walk out this life in the newness of life that's free from sin, that's put away the childish things, all of these things that we did before we came to know the Lord. We're called to lay them down. And says, "Go and sin no more." So living out this new life is basically predicated, or is basically defined by that sentence right there. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Jesus calls us to new life and to walk in that. In 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." The life that we have is a gift from God. The life that we have is based on the fact that Jesus paid the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That new life that we have is a gift from Him. Verse 16, "Therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is the new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Stop right there for just a minute. Just as Jesus paid the price for our sin, intercedes for us with the Father, which we'll get to that in a little bit, but making intercession for us, we are called to bring the message of reconciliation, to share that with other people. Let me tell you what, this is the last song we sang, "Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes the way where there ain't no way. He has changed my life." And we are called to share that with other people. We are called to walk this out as we live out this life that we have been given because of what Jesus did on our behalf. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to be representatives of heaven, to introduce Jesus to the world around us, to be billboards, to be signs pointing the way. He changed my life. He made me new. He says, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Praise God, I'm not the person that I used to be. Praise God, you're not the person you used to be. Praise God, He is at work in us. And share that thought and share that encouragement to the people we find. That's all part of walking this out. Living this new life is not only recognizing what He's done on my behalf, recognizing what He's done in my life, but seeing the hope and the potential in other people's lives. If God can fix me, imagine what He can do with somebody that's a whole lot better than I was. Like Steve, for instance. Steve. Each of us. Verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." There, verse 20, "We are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Do we have that desire, that burning desire to share the love of God with people, to be pleading with them? We implore you, we beg you, pleading with you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Walking out this new life, living this new life that we have been given. We are bought with a price. Our life is no longer our own. I don't know about you. If it hadn't been for the Lord, I'd have been dead a long time ago. There was just too many opportunities to die to think that the odds were in my favor. No, absolutely not. If it had not been the Lord, I'd have been dead. No doubt in my mind. I tell, especially some of my coworkers, I tell them some of the things I do and you just watch their jaw drop. Can you imagine having an arrow stuck right there? Arrow out here. I'm walking back to the house. This arrow is out here flopping out in front of my face. Little scar in my eyebrow. That's all I have from it. So many things have happened. I'm not going to go through them all. But just the things that God has brought us through. gives us open doors to share with people about the grace and love and mercy of God as we live out this new life. As we share who this wonderful God is. That Ann Wilson's song, "Let Me Tell You About My Jesus." We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. To reach out to the people around us. To be witnesses and to be light. We can't get bogged up in our own situation. You mentioned earlier, Deb and I have a lot going on right now. But praise God, God is opening doors. God is doing things. And we recognize it's not us. So we trust that even though there's a whirlwind going on around it, God is in the middle of it. And because God is in the middle of it, we can look for the opportunities to share His love, to share His grace, to share His mercy. Whatever you have going on in your life, it might be calm and peaceful or it might be a whirlwind. But the God who loves you and has you engraved in the palm of His hands is at work in it. And He says He causes all things to work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. God has a plan and purpose in the midst of everything we have going on. It doesn't have to make sense to me or to you. Because one day I will know even as also I am known. One day I will be able to see the actual tapestry, not the knots and strings and everything that just seem to be making a mess. One day I will understand what God is doing. And I grab a hold to that. I trust in that. I rely upon that. My hope is in that. That heaven is not my goal. Heaven is my destination. My goal is to show the love of Jesus to other people. That other people come to know my Jesus. That other people come to cry out to the Lord. That other people find hope in the midst of darkness and in the midst of turmoil. Where are we at? Romans 6. Beginning with verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or you do not know that as many as us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Called to put away the old things, called to put away the old man, to crucify the old man with its affections and lusts, as Scripture tells us, and focus on what God has done for us. And as we focus on the Lord, as we focus on seeking His face, as we focus on pleasing Him, as we focus on doing what He's called us to do, we don't have time to do the mess we used to do. There's just too much going on. If our focus goes on that, then the other things just kind of fade away. Verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with Him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." We change our entire focus, change our entire outlook, our entire understanding. We are no longer focused on our selfish desires, no longer focused on ourselves, rather focused on doing what God has called us to do, to be that light, to be that witness, to be that encouragement to the people around us. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 12. So we've been reading from Paul, and we're still going to be reading from Paul. But again, in Philippians, in 3, verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold on me." I haven't got there yet. You haven't got there yet. God is still working in us. He is still perfecting us. He is still the testing and trying of our faith, which was refining us and making us more and more and more like Jesus, to the point where the Father can look down and see us and see the perfect reflection of himself. Jesus said, if anyone has seen me, he's seen the Father. Jesus said, I do only the things that please my Father. I'm not there yet in either case. But that's what we're called to be. So Paul says, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus also has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I am intentional about pursuing the Lord. I am intentional about following God. I am intentional about living out this life. That's a challenge for each and every one of us to be intentional as we go through our lives, recognizing we are bought with a price, we are not our own, and press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. He says, focus on this, and if you think there's another plan, God is going to bring you back to the point where this is your focus. God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree which we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. We are called to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to lift one another up, to challenge one another. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man the countenance of a friend. To encourage, to come together, to strengthen, to lift up, to exhort one another. Another place, Scripture says, and do it all the more as you see the day approaching. As we see the turmoil going on around us, as we see the problems in the world around us, recognizing that the day is short, encourage one another even more. Because we know things are getting bad in the world around us. This is not the first time things have gotten bad in the world around us. This is the worst I can remember. Doesn't mean it's the worst it's been, but this is the worst that I can remember in this nation. And I'm 61, going to be 62 in a couple of months. I don't remember everything. But this is the worst I remember. This division and the turmoil, the things people calling good evil and evil good, all of these things that the Word of God tells us is going to happen as it's being fulfilled. We see it. So as we see the day approaching, we should be encouraging one another even more. Last passage of Scripture, 1 John 2, beginning with verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for that of the whole world. And now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. As we're walking in the newness of life, we're called to walk as Jesus walked. Jesus walked with love and compassion and truth. You go through the Gospels. And the only time you ever hear Jesus talking harshly to somebody, it's the religious leaders that were being obstacles and that were trying to pull people away from God and to follow their traditions. To the publicans and the sinners, he was gentle. He was graceful. To the woman caught in adultery, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Walk away from that lifestyle. Do the things that we've been called to do. Show the love of God. John tells us right here, he who says he abides in him ought to walk just as Jesus walked. And that's what we're called to do. And that brings us back to where Paul was saying, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press for the goal of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm intentional about following the Lord. Walking in, living a new life is about being intentional in following God. We can't be intentional about following God if we don't know what God's Word says. We can't be intentional about following God if we spend so much time worrying about our own issues that we never look for and care for others. We can't be following God if we get just, you know, so isolated and so insulated that we don't even see what's happening around us. We are called to show the love of God to the people we encounter. We are called to encourage one another and to strengthen one another. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. As though God were speaking through us, imploring people to be reconciled to God. That's what we're all called to do. That's the life that we've been given. So praise God. God has a plan and purpose. Everything that has come up in your life, even before you came to know Him, everything, God doesn't waste anything. But He uses those things so that He might show Himself merciful. He might show Himself mighty. He might show Himself gracious to people who so desperately need Him. And we are to be His hands and feet, the vessels that He uses, vessels fit for the Master's use. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the work that You're doing, knowing, Father, that You who began the good work are faithful to complete it. We thank You, Lord, that we have an advocate with the Father, that Jesus paid the price for our sin, past, present, and future. And You've called us, Lord, to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. You've called us, Father, to focus on You. You've called us, Lord, to draw close to You and to show Your love to people around us. You've called us to be trophies of Your grace, that You might hold up these trophies, these examples of how wondrous You are, that You are able to touch and change any life. We thank You, Father, for all that You've done and all You continue to do. We thank You, Father, for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, that You are still working to complete it in our lives. You are still changing us. You are still molding us. Just as Jeremiah saw the potter's wheel, as You're continuing to shape us, You're continuing to mold us. And we give praise, Father, for the work that You're doing. We praise You, Father, for the way that You're leading. We praise You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit that guides us and teaches us. And we give praise in Jesus' name. Amen.